appreciate you. Take your Bibles. Let's go to Acts chapter 16. We're going to begin in verse 11 and go through this verse 15. Sometimes on Mother's Day and Father's Day, I don't preach on mothers or fathers. I go along with the series that I'm in. But today I want to look at Lydia, a woman in the Bible. You women that are familiar with women in the Bible that have studies, Bible studies, and women's ladies Bible studies and Sunday school studies, that you've all had like women of the Bible. Different preachers have written books about women in the Bible, and I've preached on a lot of them, but you only have a lot of, I've been here 19 years, you run out of ladies pretty fast. But today I want to look at Lydia. This is a Mother's Day message about a woman of faith. Her name is Lydia, in Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 11. And in this text, we find her conversion and her faith. She was Paul's first recorded European convert. She was saved on Paul's second missionary journey as he began to spread westward. The Holy Spirit would not let him go south or north, but the Holy Spirit wanted him to go west, to Greece and to Europe, to a little place called Philippi. And having prepared the heart of Lydia to be saved, y'all knew God does that. If he lays somebody on your heart or a new direction, he has somebody he wants to get saved, right? And I said, right? Okay. And faith, Jesse, they're a little slow sometimes, but they will come around, okay? Faith can be seen. Faith is not passive, it's active. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, your life should show it. Amen? Lydia wasn't saved by works, but a faith that works. God wants us to express our faith by our works. So if you claim to know the name of Christ, the Bible says that we are justified before God by faith. That's what gets us to heaven. But we also demonstrate our faith by our works to our fellow men. And if we don't do that, James said faith without works is dead. Now, I want to share with you three expressions of Lydia's faith here, especially beginning in verse 13 through 15. Number one, she expressed her faith publicly. Look again at our text, and I want you to note three things here about expressing her faith publicly. In verse 13, note her commitment. Here she was in verse 13, and on the Sabbath went out of the city by the riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Her commitment. You had to have 10 Jewish men to have a synagogue. They didn't have that. So the ladies would meet down by the riverside about a mile and a half outside of the city of Philippi and met hoping that a teacher would come by and share with them the word of God and preach to them the word of God. Paul's team had arrived for some days, the Bible says, and on the Sabbath, Paul went down to the river and taught the women the gospel. Now, I would say to you that we would be in a fix without the women in our church. Amen? I'm telling you what, I depend on them a lot. They are our prayer warriors. They get that little things done, like they've already been organizing several things already this morning, right? We men can't even fight our way out of a paper bag, right? But praise God for the women, you know. And by the way, there was no male to teach them, so they had a Bible study by the river, but God sent them an apostle to teach them the word of God and teach them the gospel. Note her conversion in verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, she was a very rich woman, which worshiped God, heard us. Now, we know that Luke writes the book of Acts, heard us, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of by Paul. Note her conversion. Why does the Holy Spirit tell us that she was a seller of purple from a wealthy city, a wealthy enterprise? Well, I think it's important because in Luke 16, you see the salvation of three different people. You see the salvation of Timothy. You see the salvation of Lydia, a wealthy woman, and then you see the salvation of the Philippian jailer, right? God chooses and calls all different kinds of people, right? He just doesn't do it based upon your status in life. God's grace is for everybody, amen? So God can save anybody. So we see her commitment, we see her conversion. Note her religious background in verse 14. it says, who worship God. She hadn't heard about Jesus yet, but she worshiped God. And we do know what the Bible says, no man can go to heaven except he comes through the Father by the Son, right? And they've got to hear the gospel and believe. She worshiped God. The Greek really says she was already a worshiper of God. And evidently she had worshiped at the synagogue at Thyatira. So she thought she was going to Philippi to sell some of her goods. Instead, she was going to Philippi to get saved. God would send the Apostle Paul to her. By the way, and the whole missionary team, there's the missionary team at this time. Y'all don't worry, it's just a cough. Was Timothy, Silas, Paul, and somebody give me the last one. Anyway, I get to her. Paul, Luke, Silas, and Timothy were the missionary team that was involved. If somebody can go get me a glass of water, I appreciate it. So here she is. She has a religious background. She's a worshiper of God. She acknowledged God, but not completely, knowing about him, not having full revelation. She didn't know about Jesus. Some believe she was what they called that day a God-fearer. Gentile proselytes who were Jews were not Jews, but did worship Yahweh and attended the synagogue. But notice something very interesting in the latter part of verse 14. She had a seeking heart and a listening heart, and there's a difference between hearing and listening. I'm bad about that all the time. My wife tells me, put on your listening. She thinks I'm one of the kindergarten kids. She said, put on your ears and listen, you know. And she'll even reach up there to my ear and act like she's turning them on sometimes. Thank you, Brother Marcus. And because I hear, but I don't really listen many times. Many of you to give me prayer requests, I hear it, but I don't listen, you know. But keep giving them to me, okay? And so that we, our churches are full of people that come, they hear the Word of God, but they don't listen to the Word of God. We're going to talk about that tonight. They're dull of hearing. They can't see, but hearing, they can't hear. They're dull of hearing. It just goes right over them, just like that, right? And they don't even realize I'm talking to them, right? It goes right over their head. But the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. Salvation is a divine work. It's not a human work. You can't open your own heart. You're dead in your trespasses and sin. She heard Paul after God opened her heart. She listened, she paid attention, she believed, and was baptized. So the ear opened, the heart was open. Notice that again in the latter part of verse 14. Whose heart the Lord opened. That's said many times in Scripture. That she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. She could not understand what Paul was talking about till the Lord opened her heart. Okay? So we see that she expressed her faith, if you will, publicly. But not only that, verse 15, we see that she expressed her faith productively. Productively. In other words, there was fruit from her life. In other words, there were people that were changed because of her life. Household conversion, just a moment. She shared her faith publicly. She shared her faith productively. Notice the latter part of verse 15, if you will. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Productively, she was baptized and her household. There are several occasions in the Bible where we mention household salvation, but each one has to make a personal decision to receive Christ. Just because mom and daddy saved, the rest of the family doesn't mean they're going to be saved. It means that they're more likely to be saved, but they must repent of their sins and believe in Jesus. Amen? Amen. And everybody must do that. Her faith encouraged others, and she produced faith. See, when you get saved, you just don't sit on the pew every Sunday. It's good that you're here today, but your faith is meant to be shared publicly, and it's productively, you know. Not only a change in your life, but a change in other people who you affect in your family, right? And there needs to be fruit. And the greatest fruit of a Christian is another Christian, right? That is. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Brother Jesse, I brought you here to say amen, okay? Okay. So she expressed her faith publicly, productively. You know, if you just come and sit and listen to me and go home, you there's not much being produced, right? It's more than that. And then lastly, she expressed her faith practically. Notice the latter part of verse 15. If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Think about this. A woman in that day inviting four male members of a missionary team to her home. Her life had to be above reproach, right? She practiced her faith in everyday situation. Christianity is a lifestyle. It's not a put-on Sunday, right? I'm going to church. No, you're going to be with the church, right? You brought God with you if you're saved, right? And he does command us to be together on the Lord's day in worship and hearing preaching and encouraging one another, right? Amen. I mean, that is an imperative. That is a command. It's not optional. I want to go ahead and put a bug in your ear about something. I heard on May 13th, I believe it is, at the amphitheater, they're having this big praise and worship band that's coming. And they're going to do praise and worship, and they claim people are being saved, but there's no preaching. Now, how are people saved? It's through the gospel, right? Right? And so they work themselves up into static utterance of praise and worship, what they call praise and worship. But if there's not a preacher sharing the gospel, you haven't had church. Amen? So I would not encourage any of you to go to that, not send your kids, your grandkids, or your great grandkids to it, right? But she expressed her faith practically. Come to my house, right? You know, when you get saved, no task is too menial for the Christian. No task is, every little done. Mark, we call Marcus your daddy Mark, because we already got a Marcus here, right? And there's not but one Marcus, right? And how many Marcuses have we got back there? See, about four people here named Marcus, right? But you see what I'm saying? Once you get saved, you got to plug into service somewhere. You got to begin to use your spiritual gift, and we all have at least one or more spiritual gifts. She said, if you judge me to be faithful to the Lord. That's an amazing statement, isn't it? If you judge it, that means we are to look at other people's fruit in their life, right? He said, if you have judged me to be faithful. And what criteria was Paul using to judge her? Of course, her life, her transformed life, right? People say, judge not, lest ye be judged. You ever notice that when you step on the world's toes, they know Matthew 7, judge not, lest ye be judged? And they obliterate it as far as the context goes. You know? So he judged her. And that also tells me, if you judge me to be faithful, that means I'm showing evidence I'm born again, right? And so that's what he says there. If you judge me to be faithful to the Lord, in other words, one writer put it this way, in your opinion, I am really convinced that Jesus is the Messiah and author of salvation, I will be faithful to the Lord. Come to my house and stay. Amen? Now, I'm telling you what a woman of character, what a woman of evidence of salvation, that she, in that day, would invite four male members of a missionary team to her home. And guess what? You don't see anything in the text about anybody gossiping in the neighborhood about it, right? Because they knew her, right? Now, I find that amazing. Go to verse 40. We see her listed again in the book of Acts, only three times in the book of New Testament. Look in verse 40. And we're talking about her expressing her faith publicly, productively, and practically. Look in verse 40. Of chapter 16. And when they went out of prison, see, they had beaten Paul and Silas and all them. And when they went out of prison and entered to the house of Lydia, and when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Not only did she invite these four male missionary team to her home, but after they were persecuted for the cause of Christ, she invited them into her home and they ministered one to another, right? Right? I tell you what, being a member of a local Baptist church, or a local church, I say Baptist church, but It's all about ministry. It's all about serving one another. It's all about praying. It's all about being concerned for other people. And we need to get out of our own life and our own wants and desires and what we're doing. And we need to be concerned about, well, who needs ministering to in the body of Christ? Amen? And that's what he's saying here, practically. Just there's multitudes of ways you can practically show that you're a believer, right? If you judge me to be faithful. So Lydia was a woman of faith. She expressed her faith publicly, productively, and practically. And again, I want to say it again. I can't say it enough. Thank God for the women in the church. Amen? And men, you better say amen. Your wife's sitting next to you. Right? I'm telling you what, I better go on before I get in trouble. I'll be like Biden. I'll get in trouble here. But I thank God for the women today. James says, if we say we have faith and have not works, that faith can't save us, right? We're not saved by works, we're saved for works. And here's the burning question I want to leave you with on this Mother's Day. Really need to be preaching this on Father's Day, right? Do you have a faith that is expressed publicly? Or are you one of those that think, I can go through my life and show Christ by my life, I don't have to verbalize the gospel? Do you express your faith productively? If we gather all the evidence against on you as being a Christian, will we be able to make a case that you are a Christian, right? And then share your faith practically. Not everybody's called to pastor. Not everybody's called to preach. Not everybody's called to teach. But we all need to find our niche in the body with our giftedness. There are some 17 spiritual gifts in the body. I've taught you these several times. There's serving gifts, and then there's equipping gifts, speaking gifts, and the sign gifts, which we believe as Baptists has ceased. Okay? Now I want to ask you something. Do you express your faith? Just come and sit in the pew on Sunday night if we're lucky. Wow, forget Wednesday night, right? Do you express your faith publicly, productively, and privately? And only you can answer that question. As our musicians come this morning, Father, we thank you for your word today. I know we've got a lot going on. It's an extra blessing today to have Mother's Day. But Lord, we need more Lydias. Women of faith. My mind remembers right now Hannah, a woman of grace. All the women, we can talk about them. But Lord, today, we want to know. We want the world to know. We want people to be able to judge us that we are a worshiper of Jesus Christ. We don't want people to worry about us. We don't want people to have an uncertain idea about us. Our faith is active. It is passive. It can be seen. And don't tell me today that you have faith and have not works. James says that kind of faith cannot save you. That's the real test. Do we express these things? Father, today as we go into this hymn of invitation, if there's one here today without Jesus Christ, but may they know that their sin has separated you from a holy God, separated them from a holy God. We were born sinners. We need to believe that Jesus Christ is your eternal Son of God who came and died on the cross in our place, became as we are because we're the ones that lost it in the garden. So he had to become a human and had to live in a perfect righteous life as he did so that he, as the last Adam, could gain back what we lost. Father, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. It's not by being good, not by being faithful, it's not by giving. It is totally by repenting of your sin and believing in Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. Believing the gospel. That's how we go to heaven. Of course, then we have other things you do for us. You impute your righteousness to us and our sin to Christ. All those things we can't see that you do. But Lord, truly repentant, truly believing, trusting, yielding, depending solely upon the gospel to get us to heaven. We want to give you an opportunity to respond. The altar will be open, whatever it might be. Maybe you want to come. Maybe you have something on your heart. A lot of people have something on their heart totally different than what I preached this morning. Maybe you just want to come and kneel at this altar, pray for someone. Maybe you want to come and say, Pastor, I want to be saved. I want to know Jesus Christ in a saving way, not just an intellectual way with my head, but I want to have a heart belief. Do you know that that's the only thing that separates us from Satan? Satan has a head knowledge, but he doesn't have a heart knowledge. And so, Father, today we give the call, and will you do the drawing? And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.